Welcome along. It's Alan Brazil up front.
It's the Porkmeister. Yes!
He is losing the plot.
No, I'm not losing the plot.
Alan Brazil up front.
Exclusively on Audio Boom.
Can City do it? Look, City, if they turn up.
City are going to get
If they turn up, you numpty.
Hang on.
What are you talking about? Welcome. It's Brazil and Paddy up front. How the devil are you? Mr. Paddy.
Yes.
Are you okay?
I'm
a little bit peaky. What's up?
No, not peaky at all, mate. I'm full of the joys of spring, but, you know, a little bit concerned that we're running out of football this football season.
Of course. We'll
have a look at that in a minute. Yeah,
your life ends, doesn't it?
Well,
in a few weeks.
Well, there's not a lot to do, is there, when
boring.
The football's not around? But.
Loner.
Excuse me. Can we just get on with it? You know.
Do you want me to tell you about my trip to Cobham? Some of us have been out and about working.
I'll have the character reading later.
When
thank
Brazil
you very much.
Met Jose.
Oh, yes.
He was charming, by the way. Yeah, honestly.
Did you go down the Cobham training centre?
I did. It is magnificent. Right. 30-odd pitches.
Yeah.
Security everywhere.
30 pitches?
You can't believe it.
30
it
pitches.
Was stunning. The academy's there as well. Mm. But anyway, all the press, all your mob were there.
Mm.
But I just bypassed them, slipped upstairs to Josie's office.
Oh, I see.
For a one-on-one.
Just you and Josie.
Well, they trust me. You don't trust Fleet Street, see?
And did he, you know, as a good Portuguese man, did he get the rosé out?
No. I told him no way I was driving.
Oh, no chance. Yeah.
He was lovely. So we started off talking about London, about Celtic when we were there. Do you remember Celtic against Porto?
Of course.
In Seville when 100,000 Celtic fans...
Did you tell him about that?
Of course I did.
Did you tell him that you gave my beds away to two mates of yours from Celtic?
No, I didn't tell him that. But I did tell him I was with a guy called Mike Parry who had never heard of you, Josie.
Yeah, well, nobody had.
I did. I knew who he
nobody
was.
Because
Bobby told me, Bobby Robson. You didn't know him. We got a call. You interviewing Jose Mourinho, the Porto man. He went, who's he?
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, I put that straight.
Good.
He was delightful. I mean, charming.
Okay.
Spoke beautiful words
with
Bobby
Robson.
Did
you tell him you also gave the tickets to the game away, my ticket game, to another mate of yours from Celtic?
I know you can't go 90 minutes without having a glass of wine, so I thought it'd be easier if someone watches a game and we can watch it from the hotel.
Did you tell him that when I eventually got into my room, two of your Celtic mates were sleeping in my bath?
Mike,
did you tell him that?
There was 100,000 Celtic supporters in Seville. They had to sleep somewhere.
It was astonishing. As we flew in, do you remember, as we flew in over Seville?
Amazing.
It looked like Seville, the city, had gone green. There were so many people in white and green hoop shirts lying on the streets. It was like somebody put a green and white blanket over the city.
You saying my countrymen, my fellow Glaswegians were on the vino?
I'm saying that they were suitably adjusting to circumstances.
Anyway, he went on to tell us about that game. And then, you know, his first trip to Chelsea. How he loves London. His family adore London.
Yep.
And he basically basically said, forget Spain.
Mm.
Premier League is where it's all at.
Oh,
over there, you have four or five games, hard games a year. Here, everyone's a hard game.
That's right. And he gave you a good line, didn't he, on Peter Cech?
Well, he told me, he said, it's not my decision. It's Mr. Abramovich. Simple as that.
Mm.
He said, I would like him to stay. I don't want him going to some of my rivals next year. I want him to stay here.
Mm.
But it's beyond me. I have nothing to do with it. It's the owner who decides with Peter.
And didn't he say in the end, if he goes, he can't stop him going to any club, including
Absolutely.
Arsenal?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
he
was fantastic. And we spoke about the following season. He expects the same principles to be challenging Chelsea.
Mm.
And he also touched on, I will go into the market. Of course I have to.
Mm.
I have to make us stronger again. He talked about Terry, what a giant he's been.
Yes.
He spoke about Ivanovic, who had played for 3 months of the season with a bad, bad injury that other players wouldn't play where, you know, they break the nails now and they don't want to play.
Well,
he says, this fella would run through a brick wall for me.
That is the criticism of Sturridge in some quarters at Liverpool, who has to be 100% fit. Whereas John Terry, I know, because he told me, you know, I speak to him occasionally, he told me he played for half of last season with a problem at the top of his second and third toe on his foot, which never got right for 6 months, but you played through injury. Now, talking about players who might be on the move, what's your assessment of the Raheem Sterling situation?
Well, I think it's all over. I think he will move. I've been told the deal is done with Man City.
Really?
Same people who told me about Suarez is leaving. Same source said, no, it's done. The deal's done. City have got him. And I do 100% believe that. Maybe not. But I think there's a lot of truth in it.
How do you think he's treated the club that's looked after him for the last couple of years, Liverpool?
Well, okay, hold on a minute. You know, his uncle or something?
No.
You know,
I'm going to hammer him.
Liverpool took him away from QPR, didn't they, for a measly million.
Yeah.
I would love to see him stay one more year, if I'm being honest. I think he is a top player.
Mm.
I think he probably deserves, even at 20, he deserves more than 100 grand a week.
Mm.
Okay, Milner, they're going to...
See, that's...
Milner's 29. Let me just put the facts here.
Yeah.
Milner's 29.
Yeah.
They want to give him a new contract. He's going to be on 135 grand a week. Who would you rather have in your team, Milner or Sterling?
Well, you see, I think
that's... 29 against 20.
I think that's where football's gone completely mad.
Oh, do you?
Now, I'm going to hammer them being Liverpool, because don't they understand that this boy is a supreme talent and that, actually, Liverpool are not a big enough club for him now? It's nothing to do with money anymore.
Now you're supporting Sterling.
Of course I am.
No, it's... you just said a moment ago I'm going to hammer him.
Hammer them. Hammer them.
No,
Liverpool.
No. Hammer him.
No, I'm sorry. You need to get your ears washed out. What I'm saying is this. Old Sterling, right, has got every
old
right. Young Sterling's got every right to go wherever he can to get the maximum amount of money that he can get from the market, like you would, like I would, like anybody else would. Nobody can hammer him. The people who should be hammered are Liverpool, because Liverpool have not met his expectations,
well,
not the other way around.
Listen, I love when you talk about papers, right?
Right.
Newspapers you do know about.
Yes, of course I do.
But this, I'd rather hear from a legend. Let's hear what Graeme Souness had to say about it.
Well, he's a young man with lots of potential. He's far from being the finished article. He should stay at Liverpool, learn his trade, and just get on with it. But obviously, he's been advised by people who are maybe got the wrong priority. I think right now it's all about him learning how to play the game, understanding the game, and improving.
There you go, Graeme Souness.
Okay. Yeah.
So, listen, he knows everything about Liverpool Football Club, but things have changed, Mike.
Mm.
I think Liverpool have got a problem with the contracts. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at Ian Ayer, the chief executive, only, but there's quite clearly they're taking their eye off the ball when it comes to talent, how they're letting it run down. 2 years now for any top player... is madness. You've got to re-sign every 3 and 4 years.
Well, that's why it's so fatuous, Liverpool, to say he's not for sale. 2 years left on his contract, you quite rightly say. If he has a bad start to next season, his £40 million current valuation goes to £20 million.
Yeah.
And the more it runs out, the less valuable he is. He could end up going for nothing. And Steven Gerrard's contract ran out without anything happening there. Jamie Carragher was the same. They lost Luis Suarez for £75 million, fair enough. But they've had a lot of talent go out of Liverpool without much return, considering that Luis Suarez could be judged as the world's best player.
Ben has got a problem there because, listen, Daniel Sturridge, who I really rate, and the first two names on the sheet, three names. Coutinho's got to be one for me.
Yep.
Sturridge, when he's fit, is another. And I like Henderson, but Sterling must be one of the three on that
sheet. Has he had a great season, though?
No, but he's given us some great moments with some great goals.
Yeah.
He has. Don't worry about that. He has.
Yeah.
He can play. He's got sensational pace.
Mm.
I'd like to see him finish a bit better. Mm. But, you know, and he's a current England star as well. When you talk about the first three on the sheet for England, he's one of them as well. So, look, you got to forget his age. He's 20. I'd love to see him stay one more year and then move on if he has to. But I think Liverpool have got big problems.
No, he won't stay one more year because he wants to win things. He knows Liverpool can't win anything next season.
He does want to win things.
He's ambitious. You wanted to win things. You're a professional footballer. That's what professional footballers should have in their soul. Their desperate urge to pick up trophies. And when he sees people on the continent like Ronaldo and Messi, you know, being hailed as superstars, that's what he's looking for. I don't blame him.
You think he's going to go to Barcelona or Real Madrid?
No, I don't. But I think he could make his role in this country, if he goes to Manchester City, like you say, equally
as... What did Man City win this year?
No, well, nothing. But what I'm saying...
There you go.
Yeah, but if they rebuild over the summer, which they're going to have to because they've won nothing, Pellegrini will probably go. They'll get a new manager. They'll get more players in. They're going to compete again. And all I'm saying is he can be part of a refiring of the Premier League presence in Europe, which is dwindling away when you look at the number of Premier League teams left in the later stages of the Champions League.
Mm, so you in your head, he's gone.
Tell me he's going to City and I accept what you're saying.
Yeah, well, that's where I think he will go.
Yeah.
And just a quick one on Brendan. You know, what is Brendan doing? Brendan's under pressure. We hear he's got this, the Fenway group, they want to talk to him about the demise of this season.
Yeah.
As I say, Sturridge won't be back till October. Mm. He's got two great players now. He's got Henderson, he's got Coutinho.
Yeah.
Who else is on now?
And who's gonna
got to spend in the summer.
He's going to fill the Gerrard void. There's not a giant at Liverpool anymore.
No, there isn't.
Henderson
has come on.
Yeah, but he's not
when
a legend.
When he bought him, I was scratching my head. But he's now coming on to be a top player. But he's still got a long way to go. But
I mean, what Brendan Rodgers' biggest problem is, since 1957, Liverpool have not gone three seasons seasons without winning anything. Mm. So that's quite a, you know, an untimely record to have posted up on your, you know, on your board in your manager's
there's
office.
That's a fascinating one. We'll hear about Gareth Bale. Yeah. Gareth Bale, I can tell you from the horse's mouth, hates where he's playing. Not Real Madrid, positionally. Hates it. He wants to play through the middle of Cristiano Ronaldo. That's where Bale wants to play.
Yeah, that's impossible, isn't it? Where
it's
he is
not
now.
Impossible. Benzema could go. And Cristiano will have one more year at Real Madrid. Mm. Benzema could be off. He could be coming to Arsenal, someone like that. But up front, Ronaldo will play up front for a year, the final year, and Bale wants to play off him. He wants to play further forward.
But when you think of the quality of some of the goals he scored from that wide position, particularly one in the cup final last year, do you remember? And he ran off the field and ran back on and then came running. Yeah, absolutely. So I can't see his problem. And if he's coming back, who's he coming back to? It's got to be Manchester United.
Only one team in the Premier, Man U.
Yeah.
Only one team. And then, so you then got to start questioning De Gea. Mm. De Gea, the other night, at the awards dinner, the Manchester awards
dinner. The saxophone
dinner? Where the Heineken was flowing.
Yeah. It certainly was, yeah.
What an opportunity he had to say, I'm staying. Mm. Thank you for giving me the award. I'm player of the year again for Man United. Yeah. I just thought I'd tell you, I'm not going
anywhere. He's not
anywhere.
Staying, is he?
He's going.
He wants to
He's
go.
He's going. He's going to Real Madrid.
Do you know what I think?
So that's where the Bale thing comes in. You're listening to Alan Brazil Up Front, exclusively on Audio Boom. Old Warnings Advocat gets a point at Arsenal, magnificent.
What about old Advocat, you know, the man who was the inspiration for the advert, wasn't he? Night and mornings, I drink warnings, Advocat. You know, he was the man who invented that.
Our older listeners will remember that. At Christmas time it was Christmas drink.
It was called Eggnog.
So, he's done a great job. I think he's going to hop it when we win.
Why was he crying? Why was he crying?
Well, because he's emotional.
Emotional. Strong men don't cry on the bench.
I've seen you cry.
No, you haven't.
When was that? You're in disarray once in a beach in Marbella.
No, listen, Al, only one third of my heart works. And if you suddenly think you're having a critical heart attack, you know, you tend to get a bit concerned.
It's called indigestion after too many bottles of Pinot.
Hey, that's a bit off.
Now, Newcastle, you imagine what they're going through. Sam takes his West Ham to St James's Park, last game of the season. Sam's had the old elbow.
He's
out of West Ham.
But he's had the elbow.
So he hates West Ham, but he hates Newcastle even more.
Yeah, because he's had the elbow from Newcastle as well.
Exactly.
Except at Newcastle, it came after about 3 or 4 months, and at West Ham, it's come
and
after 3 or 4
mate?
Years.
Stevie Bruce.
Absolutely.
Who's the home manager, who's at home to Man United. Now, if some of them Man United players were on the old Heineken, like their manager, who was, let's be honest, was pissed. Right?
So saxophone. A lady with the saxophone. We give hush your plosh.
So, if I was a Newcastle fan, I'd be deeply worried. If they beat West Ham, no problem.
Yeah.
If they don't, and I think it'll be a draw, I think Hull can do United 1-0.
Well,
I do.
Okay, so if your theory's right, and I'm not arguing, by the way, I think Hull
Why
could
easily...
Why are
you shaking your head, then?
Well, no, what I'm saying
a
is...
Flying in here?
No. I'm just, you know, getting my head together, Al. Hull could easily do Manchester United, I agree. Now, if West Ham go and do Newcastle, you think it'll be a draw. So looking at the goal differences and all that...
Yeah, Newcastle's are worse.
A draw for Newcastle gives them 37 points, right? A win for Hull gives them 37 points, but as you quite rightly say, minus 25 for Newcastle, minus 18 for Hull at the moment. Hull would stir up, Newcastle go down.
Correct. Mm. Correct.
Well, that's
so what is Mr. Ashley doing now with John Carver? Does he just infuriate the fans even more, say, no, I've given him a 3-year deal? Is he good enough? At this moment in time, clearly not. He's getting no response from the players.
But he should never have got the job in the first
place. Well, he's probably a tremendous coach, right?
Is he?
No, he probably is. Yeah. I hear he is.
Anybody,
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
I hear it. Well, people in the game tell me. Yeah, okay. None of your... You know, you're bums from Fleet Street. I'm talking to players.
I mean, he's the self-appointed best coach in the Premiership, anyway. He said that, you know, as a statement in a press conference.
He has self-belief himself, a bit like your good self.
Well, Al, when you've been through what I've been through and done what I've done, you have self-belief, you know?
What have you done?
Well, you know, I got to the top of the greasy pole in the media industry.
No, you did not. You got sacked 3 times.
No, I was a giant of Fleet Street.
You were sacked more than me.
I was a giant of Fleet Street.
You were. Yeah, on Newcastle, I tell you what we'll do. He's under fire. This game is massive. Let's hear from the coach. John Carver.
I think I have enough players in that room that realise how much this game means. You know, we talk about it's the biggest game in 6 years that this football club's had, and it is, let's be honest. But we've got to deal with that. And I'm expecting the big players to step up to the plate and perform and put in a performance that is worthy to keep this team in the Premier League.
Don't forget, John Carver and Graham Souness. Words of wisdom there, especially from Graham. The full interviews on audioboom.com. Newcastle, where do they go? Mike is, I think Mike Ashley, why is he putting up with this? He's a billionaire. He is hugely successful.
He instigated
it. He is so intelligent when it comes to
he
business.
He instigated it.
Why is he putting up with all this?
He instigated it by freezing funds from the manager so he couldn't buy any players, by freezing the salary cap. So I mean, when Alan, what's his name, was there, you know, Mr. Crystal Palace, come on.
No, you're the expert. No, you're the expert.
The former manager, right?
Alan Pardew.
Thank you very much indeed. He could get the best out of the players on limited salaries. That's a bit harsh. What I'm saying is, the minute Alan Pardew goes, 8 consecutive defeats, John Carver should never, ever, ever have been given that responsibility.
Who's going to take the job, though?
Nobody. Nobody of any virtue is going to take the job, except I see now on the grapevine...
Someone like Sean Dyche, someone like that.
No. I see on the grapevine now that old Steve McLaren is under examination now by Derby for missing promotion. And a few weeks ago, he could have taken the Newcastle job by choice and turned it down because he's worried about exactly what you said, who would work for Mike Ashley. Now he's looking to the North East again, apparently.
I just wonder how much of a disaster it would be. Freddie Shepherd. We know Freddie. Freddie comes every year to Bobby's golf day in Portugal, which is in a few weeks' time. You coming? No. Scared of flying. Now, Freddie has said if Newcastle go down...
Oh, you're doing quite a bit on the continent, aren't you, then, in the next few weeks?
I am, actually. I've got a nice little weekend trip this week. Where are you this weekend? Bournemouth?
South Sea Beach, actually.
I'm down at the Grand Prix in Monaco. Thank you very much.
Oh, why are you telling me that, then? Do you think I care less? Think
yes.
I'm interested?
Yeah, you'd love to be
I've been
me.
To Monaco with you. I've been to Monaco with you.
Yes, and you nearly got us chucked off the plane.
No.
When you threw a glass of red wine all over the poor guy next year, who was a bit of a hippie, a bit of a green.
That was turbulence.
It wasn't turbulence.
It was. The plane you dropped up, about 300 feet. It wasn't my fault.
This wine went over this guy.
We went down and the wine stayed in the air, and it wasn't my fault that the plane shifted left and it went over the face of the man sitting next to me. That was not my fault.
Who was not impressed with Mike up till then on the journey, because he wouldn't stop drinking and talking. I kept tutting.
I don't think our listeners want to know about anything to do with Monaco and all that.
The poor guy.
He's concentrating on football.
How much did you give him to get his tyre cleaned?
€20.
Yeah, that was more than that. Anyway, talking about big games, right?
Yes.
Playoff final Monday, Middlesbrough against Norwich. What a game this is.
It certainly is.
I was gutted because Ipswich is my team. And Norwich with the better side at Portman Road, just but much better at Carrow Road. But Mick McCarthy's done a wonderful job. With no money to get Ipswich to the playoffs. We just fell short. So well done, Norwich, getting to the final. But Borough, a good side. Now, Josie was also telling me about his very, very good friend who's the manager of Middlesbrough. And it wouldn't surprise me. They've beaten Norwich. I think they've done the double over Norwich this year. So they'd be the big favourites. But I've got a sneaky feeling that Norwich will do them at Wembley.
Somebody I spoke to this week who knows a lot about the old Championship says that Middlesbrough are the outstanding team in the Championship. And actually... You know,
up to a few months ago, Derby were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they were.
But then Harry Redknapp told us ages ago, Bournemouth were the best.
Yeah.
But I watched Bournemouth at Ipswich and they were excellent.
Yeah, Bournemouth can't survive in the Premier League, though, so they'll be straight back down.
Here we go again. Kick them. You know, why can't you just be joyous about Bournemouth?
I am joyous
and
about
And you bottled it jumping off the pier as well.
No, I haven't bottled it.
Yeah, you did.
No.
If Bournemouth go up to the Premier, I'll jump off Bournemouth pier.
I'm still talking to the local
authority.
Is the
tide still out?
There's a bylaw about not allowing people to jump off the pier, but I'm trying to overturn that.
I'm sure that is.
I'm trying to overturn that bylaw. Yeah, but all I'm saying is, when you've got the resources they've got, 12,500-seater stadium, which they've actually decided not to improve, not to make bigger, you ain't got a hope in hell, man. It's a yo-yo team. So old Eddie, I don't know if he's going to have one season or half a season.
What
about Swansea?
What about Southampton?
Bigger grounds?
Southampton sold all the players. Oh, they have certainties. They've had it. They're down. They've been brilliant. Swansea, Gary Monk, who's he? Oh, what a joke. Look, they've been brilliant as well.
Oh, my sister lives in the same street as Eddie, the manager. And, you know, there's no way in the world I would upset Bournemouth or their fans or anything else. I wish them the greatest of luck, but they're up against
it. Both your sisters have done really well for themselves and you haven't.
Well, they married into it, whereas, you know, unfortunately, I can't. You know what I mean?
Why can't you get married?
Well, I mean...
Something you're not telling us?
No, why can't you get married? No, what I'm saying is, there's a lot more sort of male wealth around. There is female wealth, so, you know...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I even went on the...
you feel that a woman should... no place in a boardroom for a woman.
Of course
she should be in the kitchen.
Of course there is.
Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is there aren't as many successful women. I mean, look, I even went to the desperate lengths of getting on the QE2 and sailing across the Atlantic for 5 days, thinking there'll be a Blue Rinse American who might fancy it, but no, I'm afraid not.
So what are you doing? I'm at Monaco this weekend. Where are you? Will you be watching football or...?
This weekend, Al, I've got a mission down on the south coast, okay? I'm going live on the theatre very soon. We're starting a nationwide tour, starts in Portsmouth, and then comes up to London.
On Bournemouth Pier?
Not on Bournemouth Pier, although, funny enough, there is
what's
a theatre on Bournemouth Pier.
What's happened to the Punch and Judy down the tin that way? Have you stepped in, you and Mike Graham?
That's very very funny, that, Al, you know, and so amusing. I might use that as a joke in my show. No, not at all. What I'm doing this weekend, Al, is savouring the last vestments of football this season, because, of course, the season
look at
runs
the cup
out.
Final, you get the Champions League final,
yeah, I know. I won't be going to the cup final this year.
Why?
I don't want to
say. So you didn't do any good with the FA the other night when I told you were off your trolley again.
Meeting
with the FA to try and get a couple of tickets didn't work?
Not at all. They were old colleagues, and if I wanted to go, I could. I have been invited into the corporate area.
Where would you go? What a game?
Because you're taking a real fan's ticket, I don't do that.
You mean there's no corporate hospitality to go with the ticket? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that at all. You know, what's the most important part of a football match? It's the 90 minutes on the pitch, isn't it? Not the 3.5 hours you spend in corporate beforehand, you know, in which case that you forget most of the game.
Did you give Villa a chance?
No chance at all. For two reasons. Firstly, when they got gubbed 6-1 last week, I think that showed the true Villa team. And I think they're in a very false position as their chances to win the FA Cup because of how poor Liverpool were in the semi-final. Not knocking Liverpool, not putting the boots on Liverpool, but you talk to even Liverpool fans and they'll tell you it was the poorest performance in a big game they've seen from their team in a number of years. And that flattered Villa.
Looks as if he could be on his way. Now, there's a chance. Going back to Liverpool, Benteke has hinted that would be the club of his choice.
Yes, it would. But why would any aspiring player now go to Liverpool who are...
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because they're in a
Villa's
vacuum.
A great
they're in
club.
A vacuum.
Villa's a great club. But you imagine pulling that number 9 on at Liverpool, the Kop, the rushes of this world, the great strikers they've had, Benteke go there.
The Kop's a myth. It's
not
a
myth.
It's just, it used to be a big terrace. It's not now. There's good seats on it.
This is a Tranmere Rovers fan who suddenly thought... Why do people laugh at me because I support Tranny? I better support Everton.
Oh, come off it. That's very unfair. That is very, very unfair. My dad's best mate was Dixie Dean.
Oh, yeah, all right.
He was brought up in the same street as him in Birkenhead, I agree, and Dixie went to Tranmere first and then went to Everton.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tranmere fan, you just admitted it.
No, I haven't. What I've said is that I was brought up as an Everton fan from day one. There was never any question of me supporting anybody else.
Shocking.
You know that. You know
shocking.
That.
You
know
can't that. Change your clubs you, like you do you, your watch.
You absolutely know that. Anyway, look, the other games in the Premiership on Sunday, although you could say, well, it doesn't mean a lot, do you know that it could mean as much as £1 million a point
these
places,
days? Yeah, amazing. Yeah. I mean, but what's £1 million in football now?
Well, I totally agree, but when you think of it in those sort of terms, everything's important. Chelsea and Sunderland's quite interesting, because why did Chelsea collapse the other night, 3-0?
Because, look, they switched off. The champions, they switched off. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah, sure.
And Josie pointed out, he went to his fans, number one.
He did.
Don't worry about it. And that's why I think Man United could switch off as well. They might get one or two youngsters, might get a chance. And Hull are possibly... what a game, 90 minutes away. Brucey's never beaten United in 17 years, right?
Nice.
He said, I've got a dodgy hip, I've got a bust nose, a bust ankle, a bust knee. United, they owe me something.
That's right.
I think it could be written in the stars, Mr. Parry.
Well, you know, I don't think you're too far away from it. Absolutely fascinating.
You have a good time down in the Punch and Judy's down at Bournemouth.
Ha, 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 ha.
Brought to you by Audioboom.